following program is intended for mature audiences.
They used to bounce messages across the earth. Shows. Everyone in the old world had a show. Do you think there's still somebody out there? Sending shows? Who knows? Those are the planes of silence.
The Vino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
Hear ye, hear ye. All hail to the cheat. Donald Trump, commander in tweet. Purveyor of meat, more bitter than sweet. Increaser of climate heat. Grabber of teats, who pays hoes to leak, mandates GMO wheat, who never heard of Crete, our values deplete.
Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Savino here from Burbank, California with Savino Veritas in and the truth, the fine wine of select gripes. We have a lot of gripes, like alternative facts. Are there such things as alternative facts? Let's look at the lies of the commander in cheat on tonight's show. My country diss on thee, tweet, land of golden pea, on hey the bling, land. I don't know where this is going, this song, so I'll stop. Perhaps a certain president could do the same thing. That'd be good advice, Mr. President. You don't know where this is going. Stop. Say goodbye. You can still resign. Well, this has been the week of alternate facts. We now have alternate facts. When it comes to crowd size and who voted for you, we have alternate math. We have a vice president who perhaps is living an alternate lifestyle. But if he is, it's in the closet, that's for sure. And just as this show ends, which would be midnight on the East Coast, it will be 6.5 days of the reign of Air Trump. And speaking of rain, it rained at the inauguration despite Trump's weather report. It was even Billy Graham Jr., who was the reverend there on the podium, said it was raining. Not to President Trump's delight when he said that, because Trump had lied already that it hadn't rained because God was looking down on him. God is definitely looking down on him, that's for sure. There's no possible way to look up to this creature, this disgrace to the country. So the coronation was quite an event. We haven't even been a week. It hasn't even been a week yet. And speaking of week, if we get any weaker as the weeks go by, we're in big trouble. One thing the president did this week was he called the premier or prime minister of Israel. But he gave it a little Russian flavor. Netanyahu. Or is that a Russian, maybe that's a Russian website, Netanyahu. I don't know. Anyway, the investigations continue into the connections between Donald Trump and the Russians. We have some things to look at here. They played you Hail to the Cheat. It did rain on his reign, the beginning of his reign. We as the people have to hold the reins on Donald Trump. And I hope to play Hail on the Chief. Let's hope those raindrops turn to giant ice balls. In keeping with America's first state-run radio broadcasting guidelines, here's Sal Manila with an account of what really truly happened at the Trump inauguration.
Truth, the half-truth, and nothing of the truth. Veritas News Now with Sal Manila.
This is Sal Manila with an account of what really truly happened at the inauguration. The crowd was magnificent and huge, bigger than any crowd had ever been before. It stretched all the way to the moon. The Pope, who was there, confirmed it. "Thanks for being here, Pope," Donald Trump told him. "Are you kidding? You're my best friend," the Pope said. "I wouldn't have missed your big day for anything." He gave Donald Trump a big high five. Everyone in the world had come there at great expense. They sold all their possessions, their homes, their Hamilton tickets, which were worthless to them, to raise money to come and see this great sight. They could not believe that a perfect being such as Donald Trump even existed. They thought that it was a myth or a legend or a decades-long series of fabrications. But then they saw him, and their doubts fell away. The media was there, too, and they were very, very sorry. "Donald," the newscaster said, "we were mean to you. We used to laugh and call you names. We were no better than all the other reindeer. How can you ever forgive us?" "Forgive you?" Donald Trump asked. "I've already forgotten." He smiled a big, beautiful smile. That was just who Donald Trump was, forgiving. Like Jesus, but blonde. It was a wonderful start to the day. Everyone liked Donald Trump's speech and the words that he used. They were the best words. They liked even more the part where he rolled up his sleeve and showed off his bicep. It was a great bicep. It made The Rock so upset to see it that he threw something down on the ground and said, "Darn." Donald Trump pulled out a violin and played a solo. And then he pulled out a guitar and played an even sicker solo. The whole ground was soon covered with women's undergarments. Millions of women were there to support Donald Trump. They were all at least sevens. Also, every woman that Donald Trump had ever dated was there, and they were not upset with him, just ashamed that they had not lived up to his required standard. "Trump, Trump, Trump," the crowd cheered. Donald Trump touched many people in the crowd in a way that they all thought was welcome and appropriate, and he cured their ailments, from cancer to autism. "If only we could bottle your touch," someone said. "Children could stop getting vaccinated altogether." Donald Trump winked. "Don't worry," he said. "I'm on it." Then Donald Trump served loaves and fishes to everyone there. There were enough loaves and fishes for everyone. And they were all made in America and said T-R-U-M-P on them. It was like the Oscars, but also like Woodstock. But also like the Super Bowl, but also like the Sermon on the Mount. If you were not there, you should go home and die, because nothing in your life will have purpose or meaning by comparison. Not even holding your newborn child in your arms or having health insurance. This is what FOMO was talking about for all these years. Bono and Bruce Springsteen and Elton John and the Rolling Stones and Beyoncé and all the top artists were there. They fought hard over who would be allowed to sing. Finally, Bruce Springsteen won. Bono cried and cried, and the other artists had to console him. When Bruce Springsteen had finished singing, he walked over to Donald Trump, extended his hand, and said, "You are the only real hero left in the world." The people were so excited that they built a very special stone pyramid just for Donald Trump so that he would not have to wait until he died to see what his monument would look like. The pyramid was huge and beautiful and had a big Amway sign on it, paid for entirely by Betsy DeVos. But they were silly to be concerned. Donald Trump will never die. A little child was in the audience and he started to cry because the emperor was wearing so many clothes. Also, he could tell that he was not, never had been, racist. Donald Trump's beautiful big family was there. His favorite childhood dog was there too, back from the farm, where he still lives to this day. Donald Trump can talk to the animals, and his eyes are lasers. When the floor is lava, Donald Trump can walk on it, but only Donald Trump. When Donald Trump points his finger at you, you have to lie down. But when other people point their fingers at Donald Trump, he does not have to. Donald Trump's block tower is the biggest. He does not need a nap or a snack. He has the longest, biggest attention span. Everyone loves Donald Trump, and what he has to say interests everyone. Donald Trump is a star. People love him. He won the popular vote, too. This has been Sal Manila with your account on the coronation, the inauguration of Donald Trump.
Hey guys, this is Emmy Award winner Stephen Colbert, and I'm proudly elitist, gay, Jewish, liberal, native New Yorker, piece of shit snowflake, Billy Eichner. And we're about to hit the streets to ask New Yorkers what it feels like to live in our so-called New York bubble, and if they have any messages they want Stephen Colbert to give to our new president, Donald Trump. Are you ready, Stephen? Woo! Let's go, Sir Stephen Colbert.
Hi, how are you, sir? Hey. Good to see you.
Okay.
Hi.
Are you a New Yorker?
I am.
Where do you live?
I live in the East Village.
Okay, great. So we're talking to New Yorkers, right? We're being told we live in a New York bubble, right? We don't know what's happening in the rest of America. Any message you want Stephen Colbert to deliver to Donald Trump?
I think that it's interesting that we're told that we live in a bubble because we're from all different places. Like, most of us are escaping from some other part of America,
right,
to come here. So we know the real America pretty intimately, by and large.
Is there any message you want to send out there to people in real, quote unquote, real America about New York City?
Some of the kindest people in the world live here. Some of the most open-hearted people in the world live here. We're not all rich. We're not all well.
Yeah. Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Miss, it's Stephen Colbert.
Hey,
hi. Hi, Stephen Colbert. I live in your neighborhood.
Do you watch Stephen Colbert?
I do.
Okay, so Stephen Colbert is on every night, as you know. You're a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Did you grow up here?
I was born in Manhattan, grew up in Rockland County.
There you go. Real New Yorker. So we want Stephen, get back here. He tried to go back to Comedy Central. Yeah, if only. Okay, now listen, we're trying to ask New Yorkers if there's a message they would like Stephen Colbert to send to Donald Trump. What would that be?
Oh, you got to dig to go a little deeper in your soul and not be such a shallow creep.
Shallow creep.
Shallow creep, okay.
Yeah.
What issues concern you most of all? What are you scared of right now?
I'm actually very concerned about the people he's bringing into his cabinet. He's opening Pandora's box, and
he actually grabbed Pandora's box without asking permission.
Oh my God, Miss, for a dollar, what's the first word that comes to mind when I say Donald Trump?
Golden shower.
Oh, okay, thank Golden you. Shower. Golden shower. Yeah, Miss, congratulations. You're now part of the New York liberal elite.
Oh my God, that's great.
There, congratulations.
Thank you,
Stephen Colbert.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Hi, Stephen.
Okay.
Hey. Hi. Hey.
Okay, excuse me, I'm here too. Miss, I'm so sorry. What does it feel like to be an elitist New York piece of shit?
It feels awesome.
Thank you. Miss, would you sign this goodbye card?
I would love to sign this goodbye card.
Okay, here you go. Here's a pen. We're saying goodbye to the freedom of the press. If you could just sign that goodbye card.
Want to use my back?
Oh, yeah, this is great. Thank you. And is there any message you want Stephen Colbert to send to Donald Trump?
In the 18 years I've existed, I've never been more disappointed.
In what?
Our country.
Any other issues concern you?
I mean, where do I get started? I have to go to class, but I could literally go.
That's good. You need to get an education.
I do.
She wrote, "Rest in peace, America." Well, thank you very much.
It's nice meeting you.
Did you vote this year? Was it your first time voting?
I did vote this year.
Yes. Yeah. And Gary Johnson? What?
No, Hillary.
Hillary, yeah, she lost.
I know. Very sad about that.
And what are you studying, by the way?
Animation.
Oh, great. Miss, it's Stephen Colbert.
Hi, Stephen Colbert.
Is there any message you'd like Stephen Colbert to send to Donald Trump if he can?
Please don't take away my health insurance.
Okay, is that your main concern?
Yes.
You want Obamacare?
Mm-hmm.
And do you like it?
I do.
Okay, it's helped you?
Yes.
And are you a New Yorker?
I am.
And a lot of people say that we in New York, that we're living in a New York bubble, that this election was a sign that we're out of touch with the quote-unquote real America. What do you say about that?
They have a little bit of a point. We live in a little bit of an echo chamber, and we would do well to keep our ears open. But it is not, that doesn't mean that our concerns aren't valid.
Doesn't mean it's a bad bubble.
Yeah.
It's a good bubble.
It's a good bubble.
Could be the best bubble.
It's an inclusive bubble.
Yes, an inclusive bubble. At least it wants to be.
And if there are people out there who've maybe never been to New York, or they only know New York from what they see on TV or what they see on, you know, cable news, what would you say to those people about New York City?
Come visit us. I've dropped my phone on the streets of New York 3 times since I've lived here, and every single time it's been returned to me. So.
Boom! You know what, Stephen? I think these people are right. I like being in my New York bubble. It's the best bubble. I want to be in a smaller bubble. Will you help me get in a smaller bubble?
I will do anything you say.
Okay, we're going into my bubble!
We'll have Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island, too. It's lovely going through the zoo. And tell me what street compares with Mott Street in July. Sweet push carts gently gliding by. The great big city's a wondrous toy. Just made for a girl and boy. We'll turn Manhattan into an Isle of Joy.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne Marie from Up All Night on 4 Culture Radio.
Have you got any wine, Anne Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love to wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at JuiceTalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Thank you, Anne Marie and the Artist D. You could hear Anne Marie and the Artist D on Up All Night at on 4 Culture Radio on Saturday afternoons. And of course, you can hear them 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicedtalk.com, where you can also hear this show, Savino Veritas, forgot the name of it. For a minute. Savino Veritas, you could hear on Juice Talk, Cotolo Chronicles, Velvet Steel, and what else? Oh, and of course, the fabulous D Show, which I was on a couple of weeks ago. Thank you, D. And let's get back to taking down our fascist regime. Here's a piece from the New York Daily News.
Top Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway allegedly punched a tuxedo-clad man at an exclusive inauguration ball just hours after the new commander-in-chief was sworn in. An attendee told the Daily News that Conway, who serves as President Trump's senior counselor, apparently stepped between two men after they got into a scuffle at the invite-only Liberty Ball on Friday evening. Fox Business correspondent Charlie Gasparino gave an account of the brawl in a Monday Facebook post. Gasparino wrote, "We see a fight between two guys in tuxes, and then suddenly out of nowhere came Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway, who began throwing some mean punches at one of the guys." Gasparino emphasized in the post that he did not exaggerate any part of his account, adding, "Now I know why Trump hired her."
We'll be right back. Kellyanne Conjob. I know most of you think of her as an asswipe, but she is a bit of a punching bag. Nevertheless, she's got a few left and rights of her own. Mostly right. Extreme right. Extreme right. But when you're wrong, you need an extreme right. Anyway, Kellyanne Conway stands up for her man. We the people need to stand up for America the same way. The same way. We gotta take our swipes. Congressmen, senators, you've got to stand up to this fascist. No to everything. No to everything, even if it seems on paper like it's gonna help. You know he's a liar. You know he's a liar. Stand up to him. No. No. No.
And joining me now from the White House is counselor to President Trump, Kellyanne Conway. Kellyanne, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Kellyanne, let's cut the it's no secret that President Trump did not get the inaugural turnout he was hoping for. Why was the crowd so small?
I don't think ultimately presidents are judged by crowd sizes at their inauguration. I think they're judged by their accomplishments.
Well, then why did he choose to send his press secretary out on his first day in office to defend his numbers?
Don't be so overly dramatic about it.
I am not being dramatic.
You're saying it's a falsehood, and they're giving Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that. But the point—
Wait, what?
Are you out of your mind? Are you totally gone? Is your weave in too tight? Is there booze in your cup? Are you pulling my leg? Are you putting me on? Do you think you make sense when you make this shit up? 'Cause alternative facts are facts that aren't facts. They're just facts you made up and called facts. You can't just make up facts if the facts are not facts. They're alternative facts. They're not facts. They're alternative facts. Was the crowd big or small? Did you see it or not? Is he building a wall? Is he scared of a leak? Is he tweeting too much? Does it seem like a lot? Can you answer a question without double speak? 'Cause alternative facts are not really facts. They're just facts you made up. Facts are facts. Guess what? Alternative facts are not actual facts. They're not factual facts. They're not facts. They're alternative facts. Alternative facts are better than facts. You can slip through the cracks. You don't have to pay tax. You can break all your pacts and deny all the hacks. 'Cause alternative facts are not actual facts. Oprah Winfrey's my dad, and the moon's made of cheese, and I just started sleeping with Shia LaBeouf, and my dog is my cat, and I'm half Japanese, and I'm 18 years old, but don't ask me for proof. 'Cause alternative facts aren't actually facts. They're not facts, they're fantastical facts. They're absolutely not facts, they're just alternative facts, which aren't actually facts. They're not facts, they're not facts. Does Melania Trump really sleep upside down? Does the hair on his head match the hair on his back?
Do you look in his eyes when you polish his crown?
Was your outfit from Gucci or the Toys R Us rack?
No, that's just flat out false. You can laugh at me all you want, but
I wasn't laughing at you, sweetie. I was coughing. Alternatively. Anyway, I'm sorry, what was it you were talking about?
Alternative facts.
They're not facts, they're fantastical facts. They're absolutely not facts. They're just alternative facts, which aren't actually facts. They're not facts, they're not facts.
Alternative facts.
Period.
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of wrath.
Inauguration Day in Washington, D.C. is often bitter cold. But this is the first year that it's also freezing in hell.
The insult comic dog.
Trump will be sworn in. And on Monday, he will move into the White House, continuing his long tradition of evicting black families. Here by the nation's capital. It's gray and overcast, yes? The sun, just one more of the many big stars that refuse to show up for this event. Look at this inspiring mass of overweight, overaged, predominantly white humanity. Nothing but Roseannes and Fieris as far as the eye can see. Yes, if a Walmart could vomit, this is what we've done. This is like a pickup joint for seniors. Last time I saw this much white hair, Madonna was getting out of a limo without panties. As you can see, there is incredible Secret Service and police presence. It takes a lot of people to make sure that Melania doesn't run away. She's pretty old. Did you see all those naked pictures of her?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, let's just say they should call her Laura Nobush. You see what I'm saying? Because she saves her. Interestingly, Donald Trump has such a bad reputation with women, even the Bible he's supposed to put his hand on has just filed a restraining order. Might as well make some money off of these idiots. Here we go. Who needs tickets? Okay, I got, I have a couple of tickets in the anti-Semitic section, but I think I can get you an upgrade into the anti-Muslim section.
Oh, yeah, perfect, yeah.
There we see former President Bill Clinton here. Bill Clinton, a stark reminder of a more dignified, genteel administration when vaginas were probed by cigar, not by hand. Now coming up to the stand are the Trump sons, also known as the less motivated Menendez brothers. Are you excited for a Trump presidency?
Absolutely.
So what do you do for fun besides drawing devil horns on Nancy Pelosi? Hola, you're a Latino for Trump.
Yes.
No, so let me ask you in your language out of respect.
Yes.
Que hasta mal contigo. I have a lot in common with Trump, actually, you know? Yeah, the only difference is the hand up my ass isn't Vladimir Putin's. You see, because he is a puppet. Of course, health care is an issue of grave importance to Trump supporters, as many of them have a pre-existing mental condition. This health care crap, right?
Hey,
Obamacare.
It was designed to be difficult.
I know.
That's the way it is.
And as an owner of a small business, this must have killed you. You probably were forced to lay off so many of the employees in your meth lab.
Yeah.
Now look what I have. I'm selling the life-size replica of the Bible Donald Trump is being sworn in on. Put your hand next to it. See? See how it makes your hand look big? Have another hat. Let's update the slogans, okay? That's for you. America gonna great, yes. And then for you, how about, it's home of the brave, not homo of the butt rave. And for you, of course, hey bitch, bring me a Coors. There we go. And right here, enjoy, sir. I have no idea what's going on. Check it out. Right now, I'm here talking to these guys. They call themselves Bikers for Trump. Yes, and I'm going to take a wild guess that those aren't exercise bikes. Okay, sir. Can you tell me why you voted for Trump in three hateful words or less?
I am tired. No, that
that's good. That works.
Of Obama.
Mike Pence will take the vice presidential oath of office, administered by Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, in what will be the closest Pence has ever stood to a black man.
And look at our vice president. He's amazing. He is such a beautiful man.
Come on. Honestly, Mike Pence is so uptight, he has to take a roofie to masturbate. No, the Trump supporters aren't as lame as I want them to be. So I have to figure out, this is just gonna take a second, okay? Liberals and conservatives disagree on so much, it seems. But I want to bring them together. Now, we all agree on Betty White, right?
Yes.
Wouldn't you say that Betty White rules?
Yes.
Would you repeat that? Betty White rules?
Betty White rules.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Yes, let's say it.
Betty White rules.
Betty White rules.
White rules.
White forever.
White forever.
White is the best.
White is the best.
White is the best.
White power.
For MSNBC, this is Triumph, the insult comic. Donald Trump being sworn in as president. Right now, millions of Americans are peeing in their pants. Ironically, this only serves to strengthen Trump's erection.
The 45th President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump.
This American carnage
stops right here and stops right now.
What a powerful speech it was. You liked it?
That's fantastic.
I love the reverent nod to FDR when Trump declared that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, and also Muslims, Mexicans, most of the Middle East, all of Africa except South Africa, BuzzFeed, Access Hollywood, chemtrails, lizard people, undercover cops posing as hookers, undercover dudes posing as lady hookers, germs, snakes, Saturday Night Live, and backstabbing Bruce Springsteen cover band.
The parade is wrapping up. It's been a contentious day, but I wanted people on both sides to come together and have an intelligent conversation about the next 4 years. What do you think? Will it be foreign policy or the economy that would take priority in President Trump's... Oh, God. I'm sorry. Just not used to saying it. You know, it's the first day. It takes a little getting used to. Okay, so we're fine. Given the problems that have already happened with Taiwan... Will foreign policy be President Trump's... Okay, surely one of you has an opinion on this, okay? Now, we're talking about the first 100 days. Anybody?
Well, I think he was elected because of the economy, but...
Okay, fair enough.
Ironically, President Trump...
Okay, we get it. All right, interesting food for thought. Let's all be positive and look forward to the next 4 years with President Trump.
Thank you, Conan O'Brien, for the insult, comic dog. One of the ways that fascists take control of a country is they control the information. They control the media. They control the message out there. The Trump regime has already put a gag order on the EPA where they cannot publish anything new. Any speech dates that they had scheduled had to be canceled. Nothing new on the website. Things were taken down from the website. They are squelching the EPA. In fact, the person they are want to head the EPA is a perhaps... the biggest known enemy of the EPA, and that's one area. The other thing is the Trump people just appointed to the FCC a corporado who is promising to kill net neutrality, regardless of all the effort that we, the people, put into securing it. It took us a few years to secure that, and they're just going to cut it out. So let's hear a little bit about what net neutrality is, in case you're wondering about that. This is from the Wall Street Journal.
Net neutrality. It's a seemingly complicated hot-button term, but it's actually based on a pretty simple philosophy, that everything on the internet should be treated equally. Broadband providers shouldn't be able to decide which websites to block or to slow down. Let's look at an example. I pay for cable and internet through a service provider, so when I go online, I expect to be able to watch all the goat videos my heart desires. And when I go on Netflix, I expect to be able to binge House of Cards without any interruptions in service. But without net neutrality, there's nothing stopping my service provider from simply blocking websites or slowing down the streaming speeds of websites, like Netflix. And it's already happened. In 2007, Verizon blocked text messages from a pro-choice abortion rights group. Verizon said they had the right to prevent consumers' access to any groups the company might deem controversial or unsavory, though they quickly backtracked. And just last year, Comcast slowed Netflix's streaming speeds until Netflix paid for smoother streaming. Netflix accounts for more than 30% of internet streaming, and Comcast believed that they should be accountable for some of the infrastructure upgrade costs. In February, when Netflix paid up, speeds went back up, as you can see here in the red line. Here's an analogy. Let's say FedEx wants Amazon to give them money because Amazon packages take up a large portion of their shipments, and FedEx thinks that they should chip in for their truck repairs. To pressure Amazon, FedEx slows down their delivery time, but the consumer is the one who paid for the two-day shipping in the first place, and the consumer is the one hurt by having her packages delayed. The FCC wants to establish clear rules to make sure that broadband providers can't do this. They plan to define the internet providers as common carriers under Title II of the Communications Act. Companies regulated under Title II can't discriminate what services they're providing to the consumer. It's why FedEx can't discriminate against Amazon deliveries. Democrats and President Obama strongly support these regulations. Many Republicans in the broadband industry see it as more unnecessary government oversight. They worry the regulations will prevent innovation and growth. The thinking goes, if AT&T and Comcast are required to let anyone use their lines for free, why would they spend billions of dollars building them in the first place? They also see the free market as a solution. If you don't like Comcast slowing your Netflix, switch to Verizon. The sticking point there is the majority of American consumers currently only have one provider of high-speed internet service to choose from.
Good job, Todd. Hi, I'm Jonathan Brackle from Comcast. We've read your comments and complaints, and we know that a lot of you are very nervous about our merger with Time Warner Cable. So I wanted to talk to you today and let you know that no matter what happens, we don't give a fuck about you. Whether you're calling in for a service appointment for your cable box or wondering why your favorite channel disappeared, we don't give a fuck. That's what makes us an industry leader in terrible customer service. We don't give a fuck because we don't have to. What? Are you going to go to another cable service provider? Chances are we own whatever movie or network you're watching, so that's still money in our pocket. Of course, you could watch Netflix or Hulu. In fact, you should. We own Hulu. We also make Netflix pay us extra for streaming content, which means they'll probably pass those costs on to you. Bottom line, fuck you! From the people who answer our phones to the people who write our TV shows, we do not give a fuck. And we collect labor violations and lawsuits the way fat kids collect cookies. Seriously, Google it. They don't call us the Walmart of telecom because we smell like rats and pizza. They call us that because we don't give a fuck about you. I know a big merger like this can be confusing, but all you really need to know is this is who we give a fuck about, and this is who we don't give a fuck about. And you. So thank you for choosing Comcast. You don't have a choice. Hey, America. Go fuck yourselves.
The fine wine of select gripes. Savino Veritas.
From the largest political protest in American history. From the Washington segment of the Women's March. Ashley Judd reading a poem by Nina Donovan.
Avenue in the back, all the way down to 17th Street.
Wow.
And I bring you words from Nina Donovan, a 19-year-old in Middle Tennessee, and she has given me the privilege of telling you what she has to say. I am a nasty woman. I'm not as nasty as a man who looks like he bathes in Cheeto dust. A man whose words are a diss track to America. Electoral college sanctioned hate speech contaminating this national anthem. I'm not as nasty as Confederate flags being tattooed across my city. Maybe the South actually is gonna rise again, maybe for some, it never really fell. Blacks are still in shackles and graves just for being black. Slavery has been reinterpreted as the prison system in front of people who see melanin as animal skin. I am not as nasty as a swastika painted on a pride flag. And I didn't know devils could be resurrected, but I feel Hitler in these streets. A mustache traded for a toupee. Nazis renamed the cabinet electroconversion therapy, the new gas chamber, shaming the gay out of America, turning rainbows into suicide notes. I am not as nasty as racism, fraud, conflict of interest, homophobia, sexual assault, transphobia, white supremacy, misogyny, ignorance, white privilege. Daughter being your favorite sex symbol. Like your wet dreams infused with your own genes. But yeah, I'm a nasty woman. A loud, vulgar, proud woman. I'm not nasty like the combo of Trump and Pence being served up to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmothers fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, why were the female actors paid less than half of what the male actors earned last year? See, even when we do go into higher paying jobs, our wages are still cut with blades sharpened by testosterone. Why is the work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter? This is not a feminist myth. This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty. I'm nasty. Like my blood stains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are pads and Tampax still taxed? Ooh, that was a brand name. Why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the blood stain on my jeans more embarrassing than the thinning of your hair? I know it is hard to look at your own entitlement and privilege. You may be afraid of the truth. I am unafraid to be honest. It may sound petty, bringing up a few extra cents. It adds up to the pile of change I have yet to see in my country. I can't see. My eyes are too busy praying to my feet, hoping you don't mistake eye contact for wanting physical contact half my life. I have been zipping up my smile, hoping you don't think I want to unzip your jeans. I am unafraid to be nasty because I am nasty like Susan, Elizabeth, Eleanor, Amelia, Rosa, Gloria, Condoleezza, Sonia, Malala, Michelle, Hillary. And our pussies ain't for grabbing. Therefore, reminding you that our walls are stronger than America's ever will be. Our pussies are for our pleasure. They are for birthing new generations of filthy, vulgar, nasty, proud Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, Sikh, you name it, for new generations of nasty women. So if you, a nasty woman, or you love one who is, let me hear you say, hell yeah. Hell yeah!
A very powerful poem by 19-year-old Nina Donovan from Tennessee, read powerfully by Ashley Judd. And you know, I want to say that I saw that on YouTube, and I can't believe the horrible comments, all from men,
all from men around the country, the horrible comments about that wonderful poem. It was sickening, and I defended Ashley Judd and Nina Donovan, and I was attacked by these delusional people. God help us. If you believe in God, pray. There are people who are delusional, and they're taking this country down. They're taking this country down. You know, I remember in school saying, how did the people in Germany, how do they allow Hitler to become the leader, the power, to be led by him, to be conned by him? Well, we are living it now, ladies and gentlemen, in the United States of America. We are living that now. I was at the Women's March in Los Angeles with 500,000 people, 500,000 people in Los Angeles, the Women's March. It was an incredible event. And, of course, that day of the protest, there were over 3 million people around the world protesting the fascism of Donald Trump and his Nazi regime. It is no secret. It is printed out there. It's printed for you to see. Steve Bannon's intent was the same as Stalin's, and that is to take down the culture, take down the society, take it down. And he is doing that by pitting one side against the other, by spreading and seeding false news and other fascist tactics of the Nazi regime of Breitbart and Steve Bannon. Well, it's very depressing, of course, but we have people like Dan Rather, who really gave me a lot of hope. I heard him on MSNBC a few times, and he's not depressed. He says you have to fight, and you have to do what's right. Now, we don't have any commercials on this program normally, but I am going to play you a commercial for Dan Rather's course in journalism, and then I'll talk just a little bit about it afterwards.
The 2016 presidential election cycle convince me that we need journalistic integrity now more than ever. My name is Dan Rather, and I've created a course here on Udemy to pull back the curtain on the news. For more than 60 years, I've reported on news events around the world, from the Vietnam War to the rise of the Internet. I believe freedom of the press is imperative to a functioning democracy.
No, sir, Mr. President, are you?
In my course, I'll show you how to ask the right questions, think critically, and weave your knowledge into a captivating story. My goal is to help some pursue a career in journalism or just become better storytellers in their daily lives, all the while gaining an understanding of how we got here. As innovations in technology continue to transform society, it is imperative that each of us has access to the facts surrounding the policies and events that shape our lives. What will you do with the information at your fingertips? History is watching. So, let's go uncover a story.
That commercial was for Dan Rather's journalism course on Udemy, U-D-E-M-Y, Udemy. Udemy.com. Udemy. I wonder if there's a competitor called IDU. Udemy, University of Demi, and IDU University. The IDU University, of course, would be Trump University, but fortunately that is defunct. Among the pile of fraudulent activities that our president has been guilty of. But Dan Rather's journalism course, which went for $150, is now going for $15. I really do believe that Dan Rather wants people to, at the very least, understand what journalism is, what real news is, what truth in journalism is. You know, Frank Cotolo and I Frank Cotullo, who has the show before this on Cotullo Chronicles. Hi, Frank. And Frank Cotullo and I went to college in Manhattan, the New York Institute of Technology, and studied communication arts. And during that time in the 70s, there was a thing called the Fairness Doctrine, and the government, our United States federal government, enforced incidences of unfairness in broadcasting. If you were a news program and a news broadcast facility, you had to have the other side of the argument presented. That was the Fairness Doctrine. Well, St. Reagan took that away, and it's all been downhill ever since. There were also rules for how many outlets of radio stations and TV stations and newspapers one person or corporation could own. There were those rules. Those rules no longer exist. So the message is getting smaller and smaller. On that note, for the first time in American history, the Voice of America is now run by Donald Trump, where it used to be a bipartisan group of Congress people appointed by the president, is now appointed appointment of one person by Donald Trump. He now controls. We now have state radio in the United States of America. Anyway, if you're interested in knowing about real journalism, what a real news story is, real news, not fake news, what it's all about, check out the Dan Rather Journalism course on Udemy, UDEMY.com, for $15, 90% off, because I think he just wants the public to know about the truth and journalism. This is Savino Veritas. I'm Tom Savino, and I'm coming to you from Burbank, California, which, of course, is in the United States, but we're broadcast from SRN1 in Canada. Of course, you can hear our archive shows on JuicedTalk.com. But I'm so happy. I want to really thank Phil Hong and the people at SRN1 for allowing me to do Savino Veritas, because it's from Canada and out of the hands of Air Trump. It is out of his hands. He can't control what I'm saying. But he will, for those of you and us in the United States, he will start controlling. He's already started. It's already begun. Focus.
How do you think the press should react to Donald Trump?
Well, you know, I'm a columnist. I fortunately now just write one column a week instead of two, which is really great in the age of Trump, because if you engage with him too much, too often, and too closely, he will actually suck your brains out, because he is such an indecent person, capable of such indiscreet behavior, you can totally get caught up covering everything he does. And he also lies as he breathes. This is very unusual. That there's simply, you know, his differentiation between truth and fiction, you know, is just constantly elides back and forth. So my philosophy is watch his hands, not his lips. Always just watch what he's doing and focus on that. Because if Democrats, if liberal Republicans who opposed him want to defeat him, they better not lose the signal and the noise. And the signal is this guy came out of nowhere. He won the Republican nomination, he won the presidency, and he won it by connecting at the gut level with a significant group of Americans. And if liberals, liberal Republicans and Democrats, don't figure out their own way to connect at the gut level with those people, we're gonna have 8 years of this guy, not four. Oh my God.
No, God! No!
No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No. 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 Hell no. 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 I refuse. No.
Tom Friedman, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
This was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period.
Question mark, question mark, question mark, exclamation point. It was clearly not the largest audience of an inauguration ever.
in both television and in person, certainly in person and television, for Obama's first inauguration. Speaking about television, Obama's television ratings for his first inauguration was much greater than Donald Trump's. The people, as we all can see, were not there. They just weren't there. They weren't there. They weren't there. The Women's March the next day outnumbered Trump's inauguration tremendously just in Washington, not to mention the world over. 3 million people, 3 million men, women, and children. Put women first here. It was the Women's March. Women, men, and children marching around the world to protest this fascist president.
Both in person and around the globe. These attempts to lessen the enthusiasm of the inauguration are shameful and wrong.
Sean Spicer and the rest of you fascist assholes, did you ever hear the word karma? Shameful and wrong. These are adjectives that describe your man, Donald Trump. Shameful and wrong. How about corrupt? How about corrupt? How about psychotic? How about greedy? How about not caring at all for anyone but himself? How about that? Isn't that shameful and wrong? The enthusiasm that was not there was the enthusiasm he deserves, Sean Spicer.
The president is committed to unifying our country, and that was the focus of his inaugural address.
Really, Sean Spicer? Really? The man is committed to unifying the country? He's committed to unifying the country? Everything he does is retaliatory. Everything. Every step he takes, every word out of his mouth is retaliatory. The nation, Sean Spicer, the nation, Republicans and Democrats together, we worked for net neutrality. We worked 2 years for that. Years for that. One swipe of his Sharpie marker, and that's the end of it. That's unifying this country? That's unifying this country? Taking millions of people off health care is unifying the country. If I knew you weren't outright lying yourself, Sean Spicer, I'd say you were delusional too.
This kind of dishonesty in the media...
Dishonesty in the media? In the media... Look, when the media reports the lies of your man, Donald Trump, the media is not lying. They're just reporting it. What you say, what comes out of your mouth, and Kellyanne Conway, Kellyanne Conjob, those are the lies. That's the deceit.
The challenging that bringing about our nation together is making it more difficult. There's been a lot of talk in the media about the responsibility to hold Donald Trump accountable. And I'm here to tell you that it goes two ways. We're going to hold the press accountable as well.
As we will hold you for every lie that comes out of those lips, Sean Spicer and Donald Trump, as we will hold you accountable until the day you're gone from this. And this is Tom Savino saying, if you're not wet European... Wherever you go, that's where you are, and I may be joking, but I'm never kidding. Tune in every Thursday night to Salvino Veritas and 24/7 at the Too Cool for School website, juicedtalk.com. Resist! The Salmonella portion of tonight's broadcast was written by Alexandra Petrie of The Washington Post, and it was in The Washington Post.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end. By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.